Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur. Episode 30 for July 31st, 2007. Faceball. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/twit. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. It's 4 o'clock on the West Coast, 7 p.m. on the East Coast. It is, I don't know, somewhere around midnight in London, England. Welcome to Net at Night from California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And also on Ustream.
And on Ustream on video. And I'm on video, too. And Tom Green has stood us up, but he'll be here next week.
He should be here next week. He was going to come on either this Sunday or next Sunday, but it looks like next Sunday is going to work out for him.
Good, because that's when the CEO of PageFlix, who stood us up, also will be on.
But the CEO of PageFlix really did stand us up.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what. We'll make sure Tom Green gets on, and then mail us. We'll get Dan on if Tom's not on. How about that?
That makes sense.
Because I'm very interested in what Tom Green's doing, and I think we want to give him a lot of time because it's unusual.
I think so, too. I think it would be fun to have him on for the whole hour and get him to maybe answer some questions that people have when they call him in. And
good.
And for people who don't know, he's doing a live one-hour show out of his living room that is on the internet. And you can call in. He takes Skype video calls. I mean, there's a lot of crossover and similarities with what he's doing and I think what you're doing, Leo, and I'm trying to do as well. So it should be a good geek fest.
There's one big difference. He actually is a celebrity.
Yes.
Of a kind. I'm not saying he's the celebrity.
He is. He's famous.
He's more famous than you or I.
We're not famous, Leo.
No.
You're famous.
No. Tom's actually famous.
Yes.
He's not geek famous. He's actually famous. And in a way, that's why this is interesting, because it's the first person with any name at all, really, to do an internet streaming TV show. He probably could do a broadcast TV show, but for some reason he's elected to do it this way. And it's very interesting to see what he's up to.
I know. It should be a good, fun chat. He's a bit of a loose cannon, too, which will be fun.
Wait a minute. I got to pause some video. I'm launching up your links. Quite a few links for today. We do not... Oops. You know, I hate links that just start up on it.
Oh, no. I bet we'll be ripped and replaced.
I know which one you're talking about, too.
It says somebody's going to be whipped and replaced. Which one would that be? Oh, that's the Microsoft video.
I do have experience in
that communications. That doesn't seem to have a pause.
Shh. Okay, I hear something.
It doesn't. Down at the bottom, Leo, there's a little...
There's an audio off. I just did it. There you go. Okay.
I just had to find exactly the same thing because I also brought it
in. Making all this noise. This little. We'll get to that, though. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's a good...
No guests today, then. Just you and me.
Yes, and maybe I think for callers we should get some people calling in and maybe they can tell us about their favorite I'm thinking viral videos, because I heard you on the BSS show, which is the Between Show.
Yes. You were on the BSS show.
I was. It was
you were
really
on
exciting.
You were our second guest and our last guest. Because we're never doing it again.
I think I tuned in when someone said, I think this show is the beginning of the end of Leo's career.
Yeah, that was about it. And that was the end of that show. No, it was Dane and I did this last week in between my radio show and Net at Night. We just sat and talked, and that was fine. And this, I don't know what happened with this one. It just kind of, it spun out of control in some bizarre way. We had 4 video streams and audio going crazy. It was just pretty wild.
It was crazy. Leo, I know we have a ton of links, but before we get into it, I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you spend Sundays, do you go into your office and then you just get all set up and you put on your fancy headphones and you just start to podcast? What's your day like?
Pretty much. I mean, Sunday is my the busiest day of the week because I come in and I do the radio show. It starts at 11. So I get here. I don't get here that early. I get here around between 10 and 11, like 10:59, and do the radio show for 3 hours. And then sometimes I'll actually do TWiT at 2:30, and then we do Net at Night at 4, my time. So it is an all-day thing. And then there's usually some editing, although Dane's been very good. He's been here, and he'll take over TWiT, so I can sometimes go home by 5:30 or 6. So it's a long day, but it's a fun day, and I enjoy it. It's pretty much Monday through Friday. I'm doing podcasts too. You know, I just realized I am now with the addition. We just added a new podcast called Munchcast. And with the addition of that, there are now two podcasts. You can listen to two podcasts of mine every day of the week.
Leo, that's crazy.
That's kind of out of control, isn't it?
And plus Call for Help on G4 Tech TV.
Yeah, you could also watch me on TV. So you really could, see me three times on Monday through Friday and twice on the weekends.
What's the Munchcast all about?
Munchcast is a junk food podcast. It's really fun. It's an old friend of mine. Cammie Blackstone is the co-host. And it's a shorter show. It's about half an hour. Cammie picks a geek food topic and we talk about it. So the first episode was fair food. Coming up, we're going to talk about ice cream and camping.
Love it.
Yeah. So it's fun. And you know, stuff on a stick. We're going to actually next. I'm excited about this won't air right away, but we're going to next Thursday. We're going to Powell's Sweet Shop, which is a wonderful sweet shop in town. It is. They sell all kinds of old fashioned candy. And they have an area that has movie seats. There's only four of them. And they run Willy Wonka, the original, the good Willy Wonka, all the time. So anytime you go in there, you can watch Willy Wonka and have some candy.
Leo, you guys need to do a show on tea because geeks like tea and their sites like...
Deal.
Yeah, what's the big website?
Adagio is the one Kevin loves, is Adagio.
Yeah. He got me kind of hooked on that. And there's on Boing Boing, just this past week, there's some great little post about this handy tea gadget that's a penguin. And what the penguin does is the penguin is a timer. So it's like this little plastic timer. But on the penguin's nose is where you hang the tea bag. And after the timer has gone off, it actually lifts the tea bag up with the penguin's nose out of tea.
I saw your post on Pounce about that. That's very cool.
Love it. It's really cool. So it seems like geeks and food, it all goes together.
You know what I got is this 1 liter thermos, one of the Japanese Zojirushi thermoses. And I make a liter of tea and I drink that all day. So that's my new thing is I drink this liter of tea and coffee because I feel one can't get enough caffeine.
Do you go to the bathroom? Do you take bathroom breaks while you're
all
doing
the time,
shows?
All the time. In fact, people during the chat room, during the radio show were commenting on my lack of capacity.
Because you had to keep getting up all the time?
Constantly. Basically, it's lucky we have commercials every 15 minutes. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I think that's
constantly.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah. Well, but so I do have a bathroom in the studio. See, this is where I've had to step up from the old days of radio. In fact, Cammie and I were talking about this because Cammie used to work on the radio with me. And we worked at a radio station where the bathroom was on the other side of a self-locking door.
That's not good.
Bad design. But a lot of radio stations are like that. When you're at CFRB, I think it's the same deal.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if
when you go to the bathroom, you go through a door and it locks behind you and you're stuck.
That's kind of scary, Leo.
And it's not a good thing for radio, especially... when you only have a 5-minute song on. And I could tell you stories that would curl your hair. Mm-hmm. But I won't. We'll save those
that
for
That sounds
another
like
day.
For the BSS show, I think. Those are the stories that can stay in the BSS show. You can get everything out on that show.
When Shuby came here today, he had straight hair. Now he looks, you know, he's like got a fro.
Did he get a perm?
No, it's the stories that curled his hair.
Oh, sorry.
Can you keep up with this here? Because I know we're moving fast.
It's moving very quickly, Leo.
So you like Adagio. Maybe we'll do tea. She's really more of a kind of, if it's got to have fat, gravy, bacon, salt, or sugar in it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know if tea is going to really, if somebody would make chocolate tea popsicles, she might do that.
Oh, it's interesting. Now I'm thinking about all the geek foods you guys could cover. There's so many.
Hot dogs on a stick.
Yeah.
We actually had a little debate over poutine because I consider that almost fair food, but I was informed no. In fact, poutine is a year-round tradition in Canada.
Oh, yeah. Year-round. Nothing like French fries and hot gravy
and cheese curds. Cheese curds.
It's a good diet. Keeps you well insulated in the winter, Leo.
I don't even know what cheese curds are.
They taste like sour cheese, very soft sour cheese.
I don't think we have cheese curds in America.
Really?
No. Do we? Do we have cheese curds? I know in India they do, don't they, Shuby? They make that fresh cheese. That's really good. It's like, it's really, what is it called? Paneer. Yeah, I love that. It's fresh. You strain it through cheesecloth. I love that. Yeah. Amber and I are Indian food fanatics.
Yes, we used to always go for Indian food when you came to Toronto, Leo.
And Toronto has great Indian food.
Do you notice how I tried to get you back to Toronto for a conference, kind of like in a roundabout way?
Yeah, and I had to say no because
I know.
Yeah, USA Today is having, which is interesting because it's USA Today, but they're having their conference in Toronto.
Yeah, it's the Online News Association. They have a conference every year where a lot of the major newspapers and broadcasters go, and it's always in the States, but this year they're having it in TDOT, and they're trying to get some people together for a panel, and I'm on a panel called Building Your Online Voice.
I love that. So was it your panel that I was supposed to be on?
I think so.
Oh, well, maybe I'll change my tune then.
I tried to get you here. I thought it was a very subtle attempt.
Oh, now I'm feeling bad.
You need to tell them to fly you here, put you up at the Drake.
Well,
for
that was
two nights.
Issue. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of expensive.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Oh well, there's still hope.
Well, I'll talk to them. Maybe. I mean, USA Today, they've got money.
Yeah, come on.
They could fly me out.
Yeah, you can eat at my house. So I'll make you.
There you go.
I'll make you poutine.
You know, we were talking on the radio show today about having a twit party at Clear Lake, which is a nice lake up north of here, about an hour north. So maybe you can come out for that.
Oh, Leo, that would be awesome.
And we'll make you hot dogs and pigs in a blanket.
That would be so much fun. You know, speaking of that, Command N is having their 100th birthday party.
Congratulations.
Yes, this Thursday night at No Regrets. So for anyone who's in Toronto or anywhere close to Toronto, it's Thursday night. It starts at 7 p.m.
Now, see, that I'd come out for.
Yeah, that's going to be good fun. We have quite a few people who have already responded. I think about 100 for sure are coming. And,
it's going to be so much fun.
Cake. Actually, Leo, if you're around, I might throw on my computer and see if we can put you on the webcam.
Oh, I would love to do that. Deal.
It would be great.
Congratulations.
Fun.
Can you believe it's been 100? That means you've been around for 2 years.
Yep, 2 years. I can't believe it. You know, it's just amazing to think. I just think of when Mikey and I started Command N, and we were on my little PowerBook with an iSight camera, and we were using QuickTime Broadcaster, and I edited the whole thing in iMovie, and I didn't know how to edit at all, and still don't.
No, don't knock yourself. You're actually very good at it.
That's how you got
the job. Wait a minute. Did you edit?
Don't.
You know where I'm going here.
I'm going to kill
you. You know where I'm going here. Did you edit that video yourself, your audition video?
I did.
That's how you got the job on Call for Help.
It's true. I actually rented a video camera, and I spent the whole weekend learning iMovie, and I shot this audition video for G4 Tech TV Canada.
It was so cute.
And my girlfriends were like, what? I said, I can't come out this whole weekend. And I was just shooting myself, and I would shoot it in a mirror in our bathroom. So remember, it was very bizarre. But
I wish I had a copy of it. I'm really sad I don't have a copy of it.
I'm really happy you don't have a copy of it.
Well, you have a copy of a video of me that I don't wish you didn't have. Maybe we could do a trade.
Yes, this is true. Leo dancing at a Christmas party a couple of years ago, and it was the first time I saw him bust a move on the dance floor. And Leo, if you do have a twit party, you have to have good dancing music, because I've never seen anyone move as quickly as you do. You're like Elvis.
So embarrassing. And as sweaty as Elvis, too, as a matter of fact.
You were sweating like crazy. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting, really. But it wasn't just me. It was Andy Walker in the video as well?
Yeah, he was also sweating a lot.
Yeah. And you were standing off of the side taking pictures.
I was getting, it was like a sprinkler was going off nearby.
So I think it's fair if you have that video that I should have the audition tape.
I know. Don't worry, I won't show anyone the other video.
Where is that audition tape? Is it living on the web anywhere, or is it just gone?
No, it's dead.
Because they sent me a link. And because I should have saved it, but I just watched it on the net, and I should have saved it because now I could blackmail you.
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
You were adorable, though, but you seem so young, and it wasn't that long ago. It was, 3 years ago?
Yeah, I've aged a lot.
No, you just seemed like such a young kid. It's not that you've aged, that you're just so much more polished, but you were good. We hired you. You were wonderful.
Yeah, I was a little young and kind of naive at that point.
Yeah, you seem a little more girlish, but they sent me the link. They said, well, we were thinking of hiring her, and I said, hire her immediately.
Yeah, I remember you told me that when I came to the studio as a guest as well. You said, hey, I really wanted them to hire you, and I said, I'm fine coming on as a guest, and then eventually I got the job, so it all worked out well.
No, we had all agreed this is the woman for the job, but I guess they had already had somebody that they decided on.
Exactly.
But fortunately, she died in a strange accident.
Oh, Not true. Not true.
No? That's what they told me.
No, that's not true.
Oh.
I killed her, Leo. Very competitive. Right to the core.
Well, you got the job.
You know,
that's
Leo,
all that matters.
You know, I probably was a lot more girly then, but you know what happens when someone, your employer locks you up in a studio for 4 days straight every month with like 20 guys?
There were no other women either.
No, and all we were doing was tech shows. After a while, you just sort of, you know, you get tough.
You do. You were toughened up.
Toughened up, thanks to you guys.
Yeah.
So, Leo, we have lots of links to cover, I have to say.
Oh, okay. Enough of this foolishness. Let's get serious. It is almost like the BSS show. Let's start with Gmail.
Okay, this is kind of fun. I just sent you a link to this. I didn't even notice this until the very last minute before we got on the show, is that when I was logging into my Gmail account, there was a little link at the bottom of the page that said, you know, check out this link. And I clicked on it. And the link says, check out the video we started and add your own clip. So I thought, hey, what's that? I went there and it turns out that Gmail is doing a video of what it's like for your email to travel around the world. So they want all of the Gmail users to actually reenact that process in a 10-second video, and they're going to piece it together and create their own video of a Gmail email traveling around the globe.
So you have to start by, there's a PDF you download that is what they call the envelope. It's a Gmail, big red Gmail M on an envelope. It's their logo, basically.
Yeah, it's their logo. And if you watch the little YouTube video on the page that's at Gmail, a behind-the-scenes video, you see how they've kind of started the video on their own. And they have people carrying the video around their office, and they want you to add on to that. So
let's watch a little bit of that. This is the Gmail video. And you find this link on your Gmail account on your front page.
Exactly.
All right. Here's a little bit of what's going on. So the woman is sitting in front of her Gmail. She's typing. She presses the send button. And there goes the envelope. Oh, this is funny. So they're handing it around, and everybody's running around. These are all the Google employees.
Yep.
And they're grabbing the envelope. Oh, they didn't get it. He got it. So I guess what's going to happen, this is the Google campus, I recognize it. They're going to then add on to this. As they pass the envelope around, they're going to add on your videos and all the places.
Exactly.
Well, we should do something.
We should totally do something. And the best video that they have so far that's been submitted is this little kid. He looks like he's about 4 years old. He's called the Trampoline Kid. And he's on the trampoline, and he goes from one side of a trampoline to the other side carrying the little Gmail envelope. And it's in someone's backyard. You know those giant, fun trampolines. It's really cute. So 10 seconds. I don't know what we would do, Leo.
You know what I could do? Here, I've got the Gmail envelope. What I'm going to do is...
You printed it already?
Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this in the camera, and then it's going to go to you, and then you should pull it out of your camera or something like
this.
That. So it would go from Toronto.
Like
do you have one?
I don't have it printed.
Oh, you could just, we'll have to do this later when you've got one printed out.
That's a good idea though.
And we could go from one camera to the other.
It's like an audition. Maybe we could make it to the Gmail video on YouTube. We'd be famous then, just like Tom Green.
I'll have a fake beard on, make my nose a little more bulbous, and I'll look just like him.
That is not a bad idea. Yeah, we should do it, Leo. You know, there could be fame for us.
Yeah, they should. We're famous. We're semi-famous.
Cyber-famous.
Make sure the envelope is clearly visible. Make sure it enters from the left of the screen. Oh.
It's
so
traveling.
It has to go like this. And then go out, and then it would go to you.
Exactly.
I see. So what I could do is I'll set up a camera, and I'll put it in the camera, and you could pull it out of the camera or something like that. We'll figure it out.
Let's do it.
Yeah, because we'll get in because we're famous, and plus we know people at Google, and I have some film of Eric Schmidt sweating on you. So.
And I have some film of you, so you're not going to go in solo.
No, I know where my bread's buttered, and who has the movies.
Who's got the flicks?
So there was lot of controversy on the internet this week over the BBC. My friend Cory Doctorow, who's Mr. Anti-DRM, was just irate. And I completely understand. They launched their new iPlayer, which is a way that you can watch BBC movies online. Now, remember, the BBC is paid for by the British government by television license fees. So it's owned by the British people. But for reasons nobody really understands, they decided to make their player work only on Windows using Microsoft's DRM.
Yep, and it only works in IE.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And you know, the sad thing is that BBC has such great video content that I was very excited for it to come out so everybody would have a chance to, yeah. And we'd all have a chance to see all their great content. And I'm really surprised because I find as though the BBC website is definitely a model in my mind of how a good news site should operate. And to see them go this direction with it is a huge disappointment because they've been so forward thinking as far as like having just a really user-friendly website. If you remember, Leo, when I would review people's websites on Tech TV, I would often go to the BBC as a good example of solid navigation and architecture. And now, unfortunately, the iPlayer is just a huge, giant letdown.
You know, ironically, it doesn't even work on Vista. You have to have Windows XP Service Pack 2, IE 6, Windows Media Player 10. I mean, that's just appalling. Wow. It'd be one thing if this were, you know, a B Sky B, if we're a private channel for Rupert Murdoch, then they do whatever they want. NBC could do whatever it wants. This channel's owned by the British people. And I'm disappointed because I wanted to watch things like Stephen Fry's IQ. I was dying to see that show, and I can't. Now, they say they are developing a Mac version.
Yeah, but it seems as though it could be some time till it comes out. I'm a big fan of their tech show, Click, which I don't think you can watch unless you possibly watch it on the iPlayer as well. Right. So, yeah, it's. I hope they change quickly. If you actually go to the BBC site and you go to the technology section, you can find an article about the iPlayer. And then at the bottom, there's a form that you can fill out. It's like a feedback form of what you think of the iPlayer. And even in the article, they address the fact that, you know, I think some people are disappointed that it's Windows only. But people could go there and they could submit some comments. And maybe the more people who go and fill that out, maybe they'll work a little bit harder to possibly get us a Mac-friendly version sooner than later.
You know, Corey kind of said it so well when he said they chose a player. They chose to say require Windows, basically require Windows to watch BBC videos. And that's absurd. That's just absurd. Anyway, well, we've said our piece. Now I'm going to play the Microsoft thing. So I guess I can just refresh this page.
The Microsoft VoIP page. This is from Jeff Jones, a Net at Night listener.
And it looks like a big mainframe server. Ever heard a PBX talk? Please turn on your speakers.
What? Oh no. I bet we'll be ripped and replaced. Really? Maybe I could get work as a soda machine. Well, I do have experience in communications. Shh, shh, shh. Okay, I hear someone. What's up, Chris? We're spared, saved by the tape. You know, I think I saw my whole life pass by. Mm-hmm. I'm cute now.
Okay, I'm bored.
I know. I don't understand it, and this is why I'm actually bringing it up. I was wondering if... I don't understand the video, Leo. Do you?
No.
I was actually looking for help.
Don't rip and replace. VoIP equals software. The future is flexible. Try the beta now. And then you click... And it's download the Microsoft Office Communication Server 2007 and Microsoft Office Communicator 2007 public beta today. I don't know if Microsoft could make it less intriguing, more boring. I don't think they could. I think they're masters of this.
I know. And so here's a video. And just for people who don't know what we're talking about, just probably if you just Google Microsoft VoIP as you are, you can find the video on their site. And it, I think it's trying to be really funny and kind of capture people as far as being like one of those viral, quirky videos. And I don't even understand what the video is about. I have no idea. So Microsoft's trying to, there's an attempt for them to be funny by getting, you know, two large servers talking to each other, which could be kind of hilarious.
But there are no jokes. There's no jokes. There's nothing.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing at all. And, I don't get it. I don't get it. I know. I feel like I thought the reason I wanted to show it to you, Leo, is because I thought maybe you might get it.
Oh, yeah. That's very funny. There's two PBX servers and they're talking to each other.
Really bizarre. Really bizarre.
I think I don't know. I have nothing to say. There's nothing to say.
It's weird.
This is why Microsoft is Microsoft. People say, Leo, you're a Microsoft hater. I'm not. They just do stuff like this, and it's like you have to scratch your head and say, who approved this? Who thought this was a good idea? And I guess, in a way, that's the problem with Microsoft in general, is everything seems like it was bureaucratized before it was shipped.
Yeah, it seems like they, you know, they've kind of taken all the fun out of everything that they put out in the market. You know, there's someone who comes in and, you know, just kind of says, hey, this is a little too racy or a little too funny or edgy.
Well, all except for that search engine, Miss What's-Her-Name.
Oh, she was good, but she didn't go anywhere.
No. That was pretty racy and funny.
Yeah, she was out of control. I still think that slipped through the cracks somehow. I'm surprised that Microsoft even... What was her name for people who haven't heard of that?
Miss
Vicky or Miss...
No, they'll tell me in the chat room. What was the name of that... Dewey. Thank you.
Miss Dewey. She was good.
Shuby knew that.
She was good. Okay, Leo, I have a really cool download for people.
Okay, before you say that, though, I want to do our Audible ad.
Oh,
you see, this is what I've learned in broadcasting, that whenever you say, I have a really cool anything, what my response is, we'll be right back with that really cool thing after this word from Audible. And see, that way they have to listen to the ad.
Freaking good.
That's amazing, isn't it? I'm just that good.
You're
actually
that good.
Do you want to recommend a book or shall I?
I think you should go.
Have you seen the Simpsons movie yet?
No, I haven't. I was invited to go see it tonight, but I'm doing that at night with you.
Oh, I am going to cry. You just go. You leave right now. It's not
I heard
too late.
Leo, I heard you on the BSS show saying that in order to have a really good product, like a viral video, you need to incorporate elements of sadness and happiness. So this crying you're talking about is all an act to get more listeners.
Oh, damn you. Damn you, MacArthur. All right, see if you recognize this voice. You might or you might not. I don't know if you will, actually. Listen.
I hadn't found my booty yet, so when my mom asked, "Hey, Nancy, what's that package tucked way under there?" my heart skipped a beat. It wasn't a very large box, which didn't look good to me. I ravaged the paper and revealed...
If I say, "Don't have a cow, man," does it ring any bells?
Bart Simpson?
It is Nancy Cartwright, who is the voice of Bart Simpson, and she's my Audible book pick this week. It's The Unabridged... My Life as a 10-Year-Old Boy. Was it you that told me about this, Dane? Somebody told me about this, and wow. I mean, Nancy's a woman, but she does the voice of Bart Simpson. She's been doing it for, 15 years now? She tells the story of the Simpsons' early days, how they recorded their first pieces, which were done, remember, for the Tracy Ullman show, not as a standalone show. The ride of, you know, this success. All the other guest stars, people like Meryl Streep, Mel Gibson, Elizabeth Taylor. The woman behind Bart Simpson steps forward. And it's a great book. It's a great read. It is our Audible book pick, but you don't have to read that book. You could read any book. You get a credit towards a book just by joining Audible. Audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. They misspell it. I don't know why.
Audible. We misspell net at night, too.
Night's not N-I-T-E.
We spell it N-I-T-E. Yeah, don't you spell it N-I-G-H-T?
Well, that's how they spell it.
Oh, they spell it N-I-G-H-T. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Audible.com/N-I-G-H-T. So isn't that nicht? Nicht?
Are you drunk?
No, I just got... Anyway, fabulous book. Highly recommended. One of many, many great audiobooks. If you listen to podcasts, as you obviously do, if you listen to audio speech, this you've got to try Audible books. They're really great. audible.com/night. We do thank Audible for supporting our program, Net at Night. And we encourage you to sign up today to get your free book. It's free. And then if you don't stick around, you could cancel. You don't have to join, I guess, is the rule.
Free is good, Leo.
Cool download. I'm ready for a cool download.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
Okay, I actually have to thank someone. I have to thank Phil for sending me a link to this. It's called the Jing Project, JingProject.com. Mm-hmm. And it's from the people who are, they're from TechSmith, if you know TechSmith at all.
Oh, I do. They sponsor, of course, Andy and Sean's show, Lab Rats.
Exactly. So what they've done is they've created a download that's free right now. It's for Macs and PCs. And the idea of the download is that you can get screen capture. So you can grab a capture of a web page or whatever you're looking at, just a quick little screenshot. But you can also grab video. And so it's similar to something like Snap Z Pro or Snaps Pro, where you grab video. But as you know, Snap Z Pro is a paid download. And what I really like about the Jing project project right now is that it's a tiny little application. It actually sits, if you're on a Mac, in the top right-hand corner of your screen. And anytime you want to go and take a screenshot of something or you want to record a video, you simply go up there and click on it. And so whatever you're doing on the fly, you don't have to launch an entire new program like Snapseed Pro. It's just sitting up there, and you can take screenshots and video and through their service, you can also upload those screenshots and video to their servers, so it's hosted somewhere, and they will give you a URL so you can immediately share that with someone. So let's say, for example, you know, I'm watching a YouTube video, and you know, instead of sending you the link, maybe there's a bunch of stuff that I'm showing, a bunch of videos, like one after another, and I want to capture all that video. I can simply capture it, video and audio, and then have a link associated with that immediately, or just save it if you want to incorporate it into any type of podcast, like a video podcast. So it's a nice little application that's free right now, but I hear eventually you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by this. Ben Feldman, who's in our TalkShoot chat room, says that they he talked to a Jing developer. They're also looking at a Linux version, which is kind of neat. So it'll be
cool.
Windows, Mac, and Linux. And that's the way to do it. You really want to you know, make it completely cross-platform.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I like about it the most is that it's just really simple to use. It just has some basic features. Like right now, I'm looking at it on my computer, and it's sitting on my Mac, like I said, in the top right-hand corner, and it asks me what I want to do, if I want to take a picture or capture something. I click on it. Really, really simple. You know, not a lot of sort of advanced functionality, but for the basic user who's wondering, hey, there's, you know, video on a site, and there's no link associated with that video, and I want a way to save it somehow as like a movie file.
Right.
Then it's a simple way to be able to do that, or like tutorials on screen or those types of things.
It's jingproject.com. And I haven't tried it yet. Do you find that it's, even though it's in pre-release, that it's pretty reliable and it works pretty well?
Yeah, I've just been playing with it for a little bit today, and it does seem great so far. You're right, it is in beta.
It's still capture as well as video, though, so you can record
exactly.
a screen grab or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, which is the nice thing. I think a lot of people want to be able to do that. And like I said, I've been using Snapseed Pro for a while and love it. It's just a very robust application.
I just had a great idea of how
yes.
to do our Gmail envelope.
Ooh.
I'll start up Jing.
Okay.
Put your video on the left, mine on the right.
Yep.
And we can pass the envelope from one video to the other.
Theo, don't tell anyone. Someone else is going to do it.
Judge. So you can have the envelope on your screen, on your... camera. We'll take a little coordination, but as you pass it out of your frame, I'll drag the PDF across the desktop over to my frame, and then it'll enter my frame, and then I'll pass it on, and it'll drag out again.
So it will be like a really high-tech cyberspace Gmail delivery.
Yes.
That's actually a great idea, Leo.
I got three guys sitting behind me. Shuby's passed out. His friend Steven's here and Dane's here, and they you know, their mouths are slack jawed. I looked back just to see if they liked this idea, and they both kind of looked at me like this and went, they nodded briefly, tersely.
See,
like,
They can't envision it like we can.
They
right
don't
now.
Have
That's the
they don't have the vision.
They don't have the vision.
No,
but I see how. I think we should do that, Leo.
Well, if they're any judge, anyway, let's try it. We can do
we'll
it.
Try.
There you go. Shuby just kicked me in. It's a fantastic idea, he just said. That's a great idea, boss. So
wait till they see us in the Gmail video.
They'll
be
sorry.
Like, oh, I wish I thought of that.
So I'm thinking that really the easiest way to do this would be for you just to send me a video of you with the having the envelope coming in from the left and going out to the right, and I'll do the same thing, and then I'll just put it on my desktop, and I'll figure out how to get the timing just right.
Okay, so if I send you a video that I make just on my web camera,
yeah.
Then I can...
And wear that outfit that you were wearing last week.
The tube top?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that.
Actually, I like what you're wearing right now. You look adorable, as always.
Oh, Leo, yeah. you're sweet.
Yeah, you're very
but,
cute.
But... for this one video, I think I'm going to make sure that I wear something that has a little more coverage.
No,
in case it doesn't.
That's not how you get on TV. You ought to know. Oh, wait a minute. I guess that is how you got on TV.
No, I'm not selling out. I refuse
you
to
are.
Sell
I'm
out.
Proud. I am so proud of you, Amber MacArthur. She will not. I keep trying to get her to take off her clothes, and she will not do it for television.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. All right.
Not going to happen. Okay,
hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Sorry. I opened the wrong page.
Are you
nobody,
okay?
Just forget that happened. Just forget that. No, I opened twit.tv/live.
And was it that frightening?
Well, no, you couldn't hear it, but all the video came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, all the audio came out at the same time. If there's like four different pages on there, and I was out of control. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything, but
you just heard me going. You know what? I come to think of it, I don't think anybody heard it except me. So I probably sound like a complete idiot.
Leo, I'm going to whisper something. Okay.
Okay.
Go outside.
Get some fresh air
for a walk, maybe get some medication.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on into the other links.
All right, more links.
Okay, gosh, I have a lot of links today.
I don't care, I love it. These are fun.
These are really fun. Okay, this is a neat link. It's called Fishy. I don't even know how you pronounce it, and it's probably like Pounce, how I first called it Ponce. FICHEY.com. And I haven't dug too far into the site, but it seems to be a new way to browse through a bunch of different websites, similar to StumbleUpon, you know, that site where you can stumble upon new websites. But this is much more interactive. It's got a better sort of interface, and you actually see the full page of various websites come up from a list of a pull-down menu that includes sites like Delicious and Dig. So you randomly get to browse through those sites, but it's like a full website experience. And
how did you send me a link? Because it's on top of the, it's weird.
It's neat though, don't you think?
Yeah. So this is, if you go to FICHEY.com, it looks like it's an application running on your desktop with a little, you know,
exactly.
You can choose from Delicious, Dig, Downfly, Reddit, or StumbleUpon. And then you can just go through, I guess the top links from there.
Exactly.
That is really neat.
It looks like there's a clear, if you're a Mac user, it looks like there's a clear little translucent window, like a widget sitting on top of a website. And like, for example, right now, if I do the pull down, which is at the bottom right, and I go to Dig and I want to choose Dig Today from some of their top stories, there's 78 stories, and I can use the little arrow buttons to browse through all the sites. And what I love about it is that it's a much more visual experience than looking at the top links on Dig, because you're really quickly going through the top links, but from the actual web pages. So
are these actual web? So these are the web pages themselves, or are they images of the web pages?
They're probably images of the web pages.
Yeah, it's like,
and
I grab them with a hand.
On it.
Okay. All right.
You double click on it to actually go to those pages.
I'm actually really relieved that that's what this is. Cause when you sent it to me, the article that was on was, unfortunate sexual things about being a man. And I thought you were sending me some sort of strange hint, but it was just one of the many pages, and it could have been flubber and other fun activities, but it just happened to be that.
That would actually be probably my last link on the list of links. It would be something more of a subliminal messages to you.
Not
we'll
quite
get
so
to that
obvious.
In a few minutes.
That's coming up. Oh, good.
Yeah, this
it is fishy. You know what? It's not fishy. It's fishy because it's digital microfiche.
Microfiche. So fishy. So, and you can use the, you can actually scroll down the pages just by grabbing the page.
Right.
And you can kind of move
so they have
it
a
around.
Picture of the page, but then you double click on it and it takes you to that site.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. You know, StumbleUpon, what do they sell for millions, right?
To a Canadian company as well.
Yeah. So this is clearly a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's just I love Dig and I love going to Delicious and all these sites, but they're very text oriented, which is great, but it's nice to just get a different perspective. And if something catches your eye because there's a picture or it's on a certain site that you really like, and you know, on Dig, you just see kind of the headlines to everything. You don't know if it's really legitimate or not. So this is a way to kind of flip through. And if all of a sudden I see, hey, this was on, you know, Waxy Links, then I know, oh, I'm interested because I like that site. So I
and
have
you,
that. Sort
and,
of
and you don't connection. Have to load it because they already have the image. So you're really not loading the pages. You're just scrolling through the fishy pages.
Exactly.
Oh, I like that.
I got you hooked.
You did. And I'm having fun going through it. Although, again, I'm reading too much into this because everything I look at, I feel like you're trying to send me a message. Here's one. Empathy causes facial similarity between couples to increase over time. So
yeah, I put that in there.
Not only do you look more like your dog, but you might also look more like your spouse. That's kind of interesting. And then,
well, that's why people start to dress alike. You see those couples and they're wearing like the Bermuda shorts and the matching
good.
Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, and the sandals with the black socks, not good.
Yeah, it's not attractive. No, no, there's no subliminal messages in these for you, Leo. This is all.
It's very interesting. Very interesting.
You
know, one of the sites that came up is Daily Kos. Have you been following this story. Daily Kos, which is the political left-wing political blog that's very, very popular, DAILYKOS.com, is having their convention. It's really it's a you know, glamorized meetup, basically, in Chicago. Five of the Democratic, U.S. Democratic presidential candidates are there.
Are you serious?
They, in fact, skipped the Democratic Leadership Conference, which is also going on at the same time. Hillary Clinton's there. John Edwards is there. Barack Obama is there. That's how powerful blogs have become. It's so important to woo these guys.
It really is, Leo. You know, on Monday night, I watched the CNN YouTube debate for the Democratic candidates. And it was really interesting because after the debates finished, where they showed viewer questions from YouTube, which was really interesting to see these raw videos and interacting with a really slick production on CNN, John Edwards went on to Ustream and did his own live show on Ustream. Not for very long, but he was on there for a bit. And
did he have 2,000 viewers like I did?
I don't think he had as many, Leo.
Really?
I don't know. I don't. Maybe. I don't know.
He must
have.
He must have.
I don't know how many he had, but I know that I did get a chance to watch it. And it was kind of neat because he answered some of the questions that weren't answered during the CNN debate. Oh. And so some of the questions that viewers really wanted to hear.
Excellent.
And that got censored out of the debate. So he went on there and answered them. So he was sitting in a room on his Mac laptop and interacting on Ustream.
Brilliant. Don't you think that's brilliant?
I do. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I really enjoyed it. It just gets people engaged, and it's that extra level of kind of, I don't want to say intimacy, but just that one-on-one type of connection where you can watch everything on CNN, but then you get John Edwards sitting in a room with a laptop talking on Ustream, and it's not scripted or anything. It's just sort of very candid. He's looking at his webcam. And I think there's people who definitely appreciate that type of interaction.
Yeah. I love what it means, really, to... The democratic process. I mean, you talk about democratizing things.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. And it was, did you see the snowman on YouTube?
No, what's that?
The snowman question that was asked during the debate?
No, tell me, I didn't actually. What was the snowman question?
So it was hilarious. So one of the questions that was chosen to be asked to the candidates was the snowman. And it was a snowman, like a fake sort of animated character. And he was standing there and he was asking the candidates about global warming. So it's absolutely hilarious on YouTube. And he said, you know, I wonder what the candidates think of global warming and how we're going to save our planet.
Then
he said, and I wonder if there'll be a future for my son. And then it cuts to this tiny little snowman, this little fictional snowman, like animated type character.
I love it.
Oh, so funny. So that was actually shown during the debate. And I'm just thinking, this is hilarious. And this is why it makes YouTube so amazing and the web so amazing is that, you know, these candidates are sitting there all serious, all fancy in their clothes, all airbrushed and looking perfect, and they have to answer a question from a snowman on YouTube. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
I was just looking at the Ustream front page, and the yearly Kos convention actually is going to be broadcast some of it on Ustream.
Great.
Ustream's doing very well, I think.
I think so too. You know, I've seen them more and more lately, and it's really impressive.
Yeah, and I think by focusing kind of on the higher end content, they did a good thing, and they've done very well. I still broadcast on Stick'em and Ustream, but I can handle a lot more traffic, interestingly, on Ustream. They've really beefed up their servers. We got to over 2,000 viewers today on the radio show, which is remarkable.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of lurkers.
Now, you put something in here just for me. World of Warcraft and South Park.
Yes. It turns out that the World of Warcraft episode, or the South Park version of World of Warcraft, if you remember seeing that one, it was
so
absolutely
funny.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That episode is up for an Emmy. And I sent you the link to the video as well, so maybe we could play a little bite of it.
Is it okay to play it? I don't know if... well, let's play it, and we'll always can bloop it if it's inappropriate here. This is...
That's a bit...
Hey, yeah.
Wait, Leo.
We can really stick it to that S. Munch. Are you guys dumb? We can't beat him, even with all of us. It's a waste of time. Dude, we have to try.
The problem is that there's...
I've got better things to do.
There's a guy on World of Warcraft who's like level 800. He's found a bug in World of Warcraft, and he just kills everybody. Just wanders around killing people.
I personally wouldn't stop him because I think it was awesome, but you would, right?
So the kids have gotten together, and they're going to try to take this guy on. The only way they could do it is by all leveling up.
You know who those people were? The French. Are you French, Clad? No. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi, Clad? All right, I'll do it. So what's the plan? All right, log in tonight from your computers at precisely 7:30. We will meet here on the plains of the Elwynn Forest near Westfall. My friends, to victory!
victory!
I'm glad it won an Emmy nomination, but I know one of the reasons it's very popular with geeks is because it really is World of Warcraft, and they actually have footage from the game.
Yeah.
You know, the places they talk about are real and so forth. I mean, the scenario isn't, but it's, I mean, geeks look at it and go, that is World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it's really legit. So I thought you'd enjoy that one. I have another fun link as well. And I'm like last week. Remember, I was talking so much, Leo.
It's all I care about. I just want to let you talk. Go right ahead.
All right.
I'm all talked out.
This is a link that I found on Waxy Links, which is waxy.org/links, which is one of my favorite blogs. And it's a link to this site called faceball.org. And it's really funny. Turns out they're calling it the national sport of Flickr, which is a bunch of people. They're showing you actually how to play faceball in your office. So you take these blown up balls and you chuck them at people in the office and try to hit them in the head and record it or take pictures. So if you go to faceball.org.
Oh, this is funny. And there's a bunch of pictures of people getting hit in the face with a stupid ball.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a new sport. So imagine like Office Space or something like that, where it's very boring in the office. If you want to beef it up and take some pictures and put them on Flickr, just get yourself a cheap $1.99 ball at Toys R Us.
It has to be pink or blue, though.
Pink
or blue, yeah.
And start chucking it at people in the office. It's like dodgeball. It's like office dodgeball.
Is it worth playing the video?
Sure.
This is the Faceball How Do I Play video. I like the music. And you're just showing an office. Vending machine. Desk. It's empty. There's no one there. Wait. There's Brad from the call center. He's just sitting there in his green shirt, not doing anything. Uh-oh. There's just something funny about somebody getting hit in the face with a ball. I don't know. It's mean.
I know, it is. And the last link was more of a joke, but when I was checking out the Fishy site, there was a link that came up that was called How Swearing Works. It's from howstuffworks.com.
The only reason I bring it up is
because I heard the Before Show, and there was a little bit of swearing going on, and I thought maybe you'd appreciate this article, Leo.
So it's not tongue-in-cheek, it's actually serious.
It's serious about how swearing works, the difference between cursing and swearing. It talks about South Park, funny enough. There's a South Park episode that uses the same swear word 162 times.
Well, and it can't be too bad of a swear word because it is, after all, on television. I mean, it's not.
I wonder what it is, though.
It's probably something. Well, I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know. I'm curious. You can check out the chat room. Maybe someone else knows.
I'm sure they know. Swear words aren't quite as simple as they seem, according to this article. They're paradoxical. Saying them is taboo in nearly every culture, but instead of avoiding them as we do with other taboos, people use them. That's a good point.
It's interesting.
It's not like a really big taboo. Mark Shepard says the word was dirty fretzer-retzer-ricker-fricker. I don't think that's it. Was it the SH word? I don't think so. Or the F word? No, I don't think so. Was it really? Was it?
Huh. The people in the chat room know everything.
They do. This is why I have a chat room during the radio show.
They know everything. Okay, Leo, I know we're going to take a few calls. We only have 10 minutes left, but I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
My friend Matt Yantha, who I interviewed, remember we were talking about the Harry Potter book, and I said I found someone who had downloaded a copy of it.
Right.
He is wondering if there's a way to call into Net at Night using a landline.
Yeah.
Is there a number?
Yeah, well, you have to go through TalkShoe. You have to, I don't know. You have to set up a TalkShoe account, don't you? And then you can call with a landline.
Okay.
And if there's anybody in the TalkShoe chat room who knows of a way to do it, just like I don't think we can just give out a phone number. Can we? 724-444-7444. But you have to have a TalkShoe account. I think that's the problem. I'll give you the information you need. The call-in line is 724-444-7444. And this is show 3185. However, I think you have to it'll ask you for your TalkShoe PIN. And you have to have that first. But it's free. Go to TalkShoe.com and get the pin.
Okay.
And then you can do that. And by the way, Sir Kay says it was the SH word. How'd they get away with that? Comedy Central, you can say that word?
I guess so.
So anyway, that's how you do it if you want to. See, have him call in. He's got time.
Yep. Okay, Matt. So if you're listening, I know we're kind of chatting on Facebook right now. You can call in, and he does have a question for us. So I'm guessing it's a good tech question.
They'll ban you on Facebook if you use it for chat, you know.
Oh, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Is that what happened to Chris Krug?
They gave him his account back, so that was good news. And you know what's interesting? They're having a Facebook developers camp in Toronto in a couple of weeks. I think it's a week from Tuesday. And some of the Facebook people are coming down, and they're hosting this sort of party, like bar camp style event. And I guess they're teaching people how to develop apps. I'm not sure of all the details, but I'm planning to meet up with them when they come here. But it's a pretty big deal. And so far, I think there's a couple hundred people in Toronto who are planning to go to it. Anyhow, I'm hoping
that the
I
first
can meet them.
Developers camp, or have they done this before?
I'm not sure. I just found it on Facebook, and then it turns out some of the Facebook people are actually coming. So I thought it was neat because, you know, Facebook, Toronto has such a big Facebook population. So maybe that's one of the reasons that they're coming down.
Makes sense. If you can get an interview with Mark Zuckerberg, boy, that would be a coup.
That would be a real coup.
Who's the biggest person you've interviewed for Web Nation so far?
I think Garry Kasparov.
The chess champion who's trying to democratize Russia.
Yeah, it's probably my most enjoyable interview.
Really?
Despite the fact that he was sort of yelling loudly in a Russian accent at me. But
he wasn't yelling at you. He was just excited.
He was just talking. Yes, he was excited.
We have to change world, Amber. This is a big important thing. KGB is following me around and I don't know what to do.
He talks exactly like that. The KGB cannot track Skype, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's a pretty big techie, so that was kind of fun.
Well, he was the world champion. Many agree the best player who ever lived. And what I admire about him is he's not a one-dimensional person. Here he is trying to make change his country for the better.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's lots of people who would like to see him not around anymore, if you know what I'm saying.
Like KGB. Now,
exactly.
Let's say hello to Mountain. Mountain, where are you calling from?
Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
One of your fellow countrymen.
Actually, I called a little while ago, and you'd helped me out with finding a content management system, and I really appreciate your help. I ended up with Zoops.
Good.
Yeah, there's a friend and I, I'm a designer, and there's a friend and I, we've broken 3 world records under human power recently, and I was hoping that you'd allow me to basically pimp my 2 sites to you guys and have you swamp us.
I would love it.
Do it.
So what are the records you broke?
The first 2 records we broke is in a human-powered bike or recumbent bike. We did the longest distance traveled by a human being in 24 hours.
And how far was that?
1,046 kilometers, or 650 miles.
In one day?
Wow.
In one day, in 24 hours, on a track down in California, in Eureka, California, actually.
Oh, so you weren't on the road. You were going around in circles.
Exactly. You want sort of a contained environment so you know exactly what's going on. But I helped design the vehicle. And
amazing.
A couple months ago, we also made a human-powered boat, and we broke the 24-hour record with that. I think it was 107 kilometers in 24 hours in a human-powered boat.
But you're not the Iron Man who's doing the pedaling.
No, I'm the geek behind the brawn.
Is there anywhere online we can see any of this stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're on YouTube all over the place and stuff. But I'll give you 2 sites. The current site for the boat, the boat project 24-hour, we're actually advancing it to do an Atlantic crossing. We want to cross the Atlantic in record time. But currently, it's called pedaltheocean.com. And that'll give you lots of pictures of Greg, very few pictures of me. But that's fine because, I'm the geek behind the brawn.
Wow, and look at this boat, too. It's very streamlined. Did you design the boat?
I helped with the design. This one I haven't helped out a whole lot. We found that I've done a whole bunch of podcasts and some video editing and stuff, and I've been sort of promoted and used as the documentary director and stuff. We've got tons of video. We're hitting up TLC and Discovery Channel. We're going to the Next Fest in California here in September. So,
good.
We're hoping that somebody might be interested in us and help us out. And the bike record, actually, you can see a lot of the bike records and a lot of the other stuff Greg's done at adventuresofgreg.com.
Adventuresofgreg.com.
Okay.
That's right.
So Greg is obviously the triathlete, the Iron Man, the guy who can do it all.
Oh, when when you say the Iron Man, this guy qualifies for Kona every year, or at least last year. So, like, yeah, he's
that's a super Iron Man, isn't it? I mean,
this guy, you know, and here I am with a couple extra pounds around my gut and stuff, and it's almost embarrassing to stand behind him. I'm just like, yeah, well, I help him out, you know, all easy because I spent so much time inside.
I know how you feel. Believe me, I stand behind Amber all the time. So there's good video on here. There's pictures of both the boat and the bicycle, which are interestingly very similar in design. They're very streamlined, obviously.
Well, you know, the one thing that I've worked on designing aircraft and stuff in my sort of past life, and what I've found is, and I've worked with actually worked with this Stelio Ferrati in Italy, and he actually met the Orville, I think it was Orville Wright, the one that lived longer.
Wow.
But he told me one thing is that you always should copy nature, and that it takes more time to design something that's beautiful than it does to design something that's ugly. So I've taken all of his words to heart, and you'll actually kind of notice fish-like shapes
because it does look like a fish.
Who am I to argue with billions of years of evolution? You know, it's one of those things where you can't compete. So, you know, you have all these people making these great designs and new shapes, and you're just like, well, why not look at like a bird or something that does what you want it to and then copy it?
It's interesting you should say that because and I hope to get an interview with him for one of our shows down the road. Jeff Hawkins, the guy who started Palm and Trio.
Yeah.
And we've talked about his book On Intelligence on a number of shows here. That was his point when he's talking about creating artificial intelligence. He's saying, you know, you could try to bend computer technology to make it think like a human, but why not just make something that works the same way as the brain does?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And in fact, that's the only way, as it turns out, the only way you can really create real intelligence. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Well, check out your links.
Pedal. And I'm going to try my best, Amber. I'm in Calgary right now, but I'm going to see about next Thursday, booking a flight, coming out in EPS kind of thing for your episode, because that's just way too cool. And I got friends out there, so it'll all work.
Oh, you should definitely come. There are quite a few people who are coming from out of town, and we're all so excited. And in fact, I just got an email from No Regrets from the bar, and we're going to make a big cake and you know, shoot a lot of it, and that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Cake shooters, everybody.
My brother's flying into Halifax as well, so it should be lots of fun.
Oh, that's
I want to pick his brain on a couple of things he's talked about. So,
great. Well, let me know if you're coming in.
I will.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mountain. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Yep.
We gotta wrap things up. What?
Oh, I know we have to wrap things up, but my friend who I mentioned, he's Bags 4112.
Oh,
I don't know if we have time.
Let's say hi to Bags 4112. Hey, Bags.
Hey, how are you doing, Leo?
You made it.
Yay.
I did. Hi, Amber. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a great night in Toronto, and I'm having such fun.
Great. Well, we don't have too much time left, but I had to make sure that we squeezed you in.
Oh, no problem. Leo, I'm the guy that was reading the Harry Potter book 2 days straight on my computer before it was released.
And you finished it on your computer?
No, I actually went out and bought the book on Saturday.
Good man.
And I finished it, and it's an amazing book.
Yeah, I was just asking Shuby, who's already who waited in line. How many hours did you wait in line? 12 hours, something like that? 3 hours. All right. My daughter waited in line more than that, but got the book and has already finished it. And he says it's a great book. So I can't wait to read it. I haven't read it yet.
I actually ended up going to a local pharmacy that had the book in droves. And when I showed up, they had the display in the middle of the aisle, and it was completely empty. And I went up to them and I said, do you have any more of the books left? And they said, oh, yeah, of course we do. And they handed me one. And it was $20 off what the normal price was.
Good deal.
That's great.
Yeah, that was great.
Now, did you start where you left off online, or did you start at the beginning?
Okay, can I be honest here?
Yeah.
I got the audiobook online, too.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know the audiobook was out.
Yeah, it's out. It's out. And I would hope that everybody would buy the book and then listen to the book or either read the book online, whatever.
I'm sure that J.K. Rowling is doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, you know, she owes me $20.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. Because I bought every book.
You bought them all, and you bought the tape.
Honestly, and Amber knows this too. When I was talking to her, the book is fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait to read
it. I would hope that everybody would go out there and buy the book.
It's selling very, very well. I think it's a big success. Hey, Matt, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Leo.
Thanks
Amber.
So much.
Thanks so
we'll
much
talk
for
to you soon.
Good. We could get you on as our last caller on the show. Yeah, I was going to mentioned that I had talked, I guess it was last week, about how expensive the book is on audio books. On iTunes, I think it's $50 for the sixth book. I don't know how much the seventh one is. It's not on iTunes yet. You have to buy the CD. Okay, so eventually they'll get it on audio. And somebody from Australia said, you think it's expensive there, mate? And he sent me a screenshot. It's $119 in Australia.
Holy cow.
I don't know who would buy something for $119. I guess somebody was desperate to hear it.
Yes.
Amber, we're going to wrap it up.
Fun show, Leo.
Great, as always. We don't need guests. We don't need no stinking guests.
But we will have Tom Green next Sunday, so hopefully that all works out.
That'll be fun. I'm going to open the lines and ask everybody to say goodnight to us. Goodnight, Amber.
Goodnight, Leo. Goodnight, everyone.
Goodnight from Net at Night. Goodnight, everybody.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mike. Goodnight. Steel Wheel. Goodnight, Georgia.
Goodnight,
Nick. Goodnight, Rhode Island. Goodnight.
Goodnight from New Jersey.
We'll see you all later, and thanks for joining us on Net at Night.